From the Credit Union National Association, this is the CUNA News Podcast. Credit Union People, Credit Union Ideas.
The Eugene H. Farley League Leadership Award is presented annually by the American Association of Credit Union Leagues, honoring a league president and league executive who demonstrates visionary leadership at the state and national levels. The 2023 recipients of the Farley Award are Paul Mercer, president CEO of the Ohio Credit Union League, and Lauren Whaley, president of the Carolinas Credit Union Foundation. I'm Ron Jose, senior editor with CUNA News. In this episode of the CUNA News podcast, Mercer and Whaley share some insight on the leadership qualities that drive their success. Both Mercer and Whaley have used their unique brand of leadership to drive their respective organizations to new heights during times of unprecedented change. Paul, thanks for joining us today. The Farley Award is a huge honor. What was your first reaction on learning that you were the recipient?
Well, my first reaction, Ron, was to be very, very surprised. I was not expecting that, did not have any clues, and was quite surprised. And it was quite a pleasant surprise, a nice one, as it turns out. I don't think much about awards personally, but this one has a lot of meaning to it. It's about the contribution leagues make to the credit union movement. It's about the amazing Gene Farley, who was, to me, sort of a middle distance pioneer for the credit union movement, a great Southern gentleman, and someone that I learned a great deal from when I was young in the credit union movement. And I take the award as a reflection of the amazing credit union thing that we've got going on here in every corner of Ohio. So it was all very exciting. Quite a surprise, though.
Yeah, the credit union movement really does have wonderful heroes to look to, and that should always be remembered. And actually, you're one of those heroes to us, Paul. And to that end, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, how you came to the Ohio League? And I know it's a little bit of a family story, but I know people will like hearing about it.
We do have a bit of a credit union family. My older brother, Mike, that many people know, got into the business before I did. And even today, my youngest daughter, Carrie, works for a credit union here in Columbus when she's not off at college. So we treasure the credit union thing in the Mercer family and in many different ways. Hopefully, we're doing our fair share to invest in it for the future. I was born in Ohio. I grew up in Connecticut mostly and went to school in Connecticut. And when I got out of school, I went to work for a bank just for a short period of time in the commercial lending track. Back then, you had to choose the retail side of a bank or the commercial lending side. And I thought knowing how to lend money would be useful in any case in the future. While that was happening, Mike was already turning into quite the leader for the credit union movement, first at U.S. Central Credit Union, then at Georgia Central Credit Union, then at the Georgia Credit Union League. And he was constantly tapping me on the shoulder and drawing my attention to the credit union thing, which I hadn't learned anything about in my finance and banking classes at the University of Connecticut. And I finally agreed to go up and visit with several of Mike's buddies who were already leaders up at the big, powerful New York State Credit Union League. That was Chuck Whitney, who was about to become the league president at that time, and Mike Brown, who was about to become, or who was already the leader of the corporate credit union that was part of the league at that time. And I spent several days with those folks, got a good look at the credit union movement, at least at a initial introductory and high level. Realized that big brother Mike was right and actually didn't go back home to Connecticut. I stayed up in Albany, New York, took a job as an investment and loan officer for Empire Corporate Federal Credit Union, which was amazing. They took quite a flyer on me because I didn't know anything about investments or loans at that time, and started my credit union career at the great Empire Corporate Federal Credit Union, and flipped over to the league after a while to do some different kinds of work. From there, I went over to Massachusetts first to join the great Massachusetts Credit Union League. And after a while there, I went to work for Heritage Community Federal Credit Union. And a long time ago now, drove my wife and our baby daughter, Liz, who was 6 months old at the time, our first child, out to Columbus, Ohio to join the Ohio Credit Union League. So I've had a good opportunity to take a look at the credit union movement from a lot of different angles. I have loved every minute of it. I have loved every job I've had. And now here I am in Ohio for 3 decades now and still excited about it. And I seem to have been clearly captured by the credit union movement, as many of us do. And somehow I also got captured by Ohio. This has been a wonderful place to ply the trade of advancing the credit union movement. Very lucky, very fortunate the whole time.
That's interesting. That kind of explains your path to the Farley Award. And actually, to kind of build on that path, this is a good question too, because there have been so many changes, and we always say evolution in financial services, but it always seems like a revolution. And so what are some of the biggest changes that you've seen in the credit union system, not just since you've taken over the league, but just in your career? How has it changed?
Well, in a few years, I will have 40 years in the credit union movement, and that is just stunning and exciting all at the same time. But in 4 decades of anything, a person is going to witness, experience, and navigate through, and hopefully optimize a great deal of change. That is certainly the case with the credit union movement and the credit union system during my time. Clearly, consolidation, concentration, and the onset of scale in the credit union space is an incredibly powerful force of change throughout the entire time that I've been working with credit unions. And as we sit here today, it is still a powerful change force that we're all trying to understand and we're all trying to optimize to the benefit of the credit union members here in Ohio and all across the country. Another force of change that has made a tremendous difference is when I got in the credit union space, most of us became generalists. We were generalists. And with the increased growth of credit unions and their support organizations, and the rapidly increasing sophistication and complexity of credit union businesses of every kind, the talent has had to specialize immensely. And so I would name that as another key force of change, is just the deeply specialized talent that we see across the credit union movement today, in the credit unions, in their CUSOs, in the association world, in the vendor and partner support systems and organizations. The specialized talent that we bring to bear to advance the movement, to serve the members, to compete is really incredibly impressive. And that's very different from when I joined the credit union movement. Ron, another major change during the time that I've been involved has been, and I think it's a wonderful change, the opening up of fields of membership. The time I've spent in the credit union space bridges a time before open fields of membership, when there were smaller, more constrained, and more limited fields of membership for most credit unions. And today, many credit unions have much broader, more expansive, more open fields of membership. That is certainly a transition and a wave of change that we've seen here in Ohio. And I think it's a tremendously positive one, because it has allowed us to bring the amazing credit union thing to literally every corner, every community, and every person that wants this opportunity in Ohio through a wide open fields of membership. So I think that's an exciting development and a powerful change. And of course, if we're going to talk about change, Ron, we better talk about technology, technology, and technology. And the career that I've had so far, and am continuing in the credit union space, technology has literally changed everything and created unbelievable opportunities to reach more people, to serve them better with greater service, better experience, and a wide array of products and services. That would be the last change I would note, that in my first days in the credit union movement, credit unions were beginning to think about opening up fields of membership to serve more people and diversify their business. Credit unions were beginning to think about expanding the array of products and services that they provided to their members to meet their members' needs. And that suite of full-blown, full-service consumer finance support that you see today is another big change in terms of credit unions becoming very strong, very modern, very capable, and full spectrum financial institutions and support providers to their members and communities. So another powerful change. It's been a wild period of change during this time.
Building consensus is a key skill for league presidents. What approach do you take to building consensus among key stakeholders?
Ron, that's a great question. And I think building consensus is a great leadership skill that many in the credit union movement have. And it's important at every level of the credit union movement. Certainly, it's a valuable competency, if you will, for a trade association or a league. And it's just absolutely key. I think the first thing to remember when thinking about consensus building is that this has always been a people business. This today remains a people business. And the credit union movement looking forward far into the future will always be a people business. And for those that are the consensus builders of the future, I think the first order of priority is to remember that lesson that this remains a people business and that we must pay attention to the people first and most. I think that's the starting point for consensus building. The second point I would make about consensus building, Ron, is simply that be transparent, deal straight up. Don't forget that trust is the greatest asset that any leader has. And any leader that is trying to lead an organization, bring people together, unite people around a common set of ideas or cause, you'll be relying on trust that you will have built. So I think that's important. When working on projects at a credit union, at a league, in a CUSO, in many other different kinds of organizations, I think it's important to be straight up and acknowledge differences while at the same time you clarify and evangelize commonalities. Across the credit union movement, we are constantly building the movement for the future as we have in the past, based on the sixth cooperative principle, which is cooperation among cooperatives. And right into our founding principles is this idea that we will do better, we will get farther, we will accomplish more together than separately. That's what the cooperative principle of cooperation among cooperatives brings out, calls out of all of us. And to do that, it's just crucially important to identify the commonalities, to remind people how important working together is, especially in a business that is cooperatively underpinned like credit unions are. The last thing I would mention about consensus building, whether you're a league or a credit union or in any other part of the credit union movement, is simply the notion of humility. We are all in this for the benefit of the members that are the owners of credit unions scattered all across the country. That is the purpose, that is the cause, that is the mission, that is the point. And I think humility is important in remembering that. For myself, I value some of the ideas, many of the ideas that are gathered together in the servant leadership philosophy, which I think so well aligns with the values that we have in credit union space. So those are some thoughts and ideas about gathering principle together. But if we're all focused on purpose and we're all looking to the future and we truly believe in the sixth cooperative principle, we've got this wonderful opportunity to gather people together, to generate consensus, and to get to work on making the credit union movement better for the members.
The answer in that question is like a little leadership class. That is a wonderful, wonderful answer for all leaders in the credit union movement. I thank you for that. And actually, when I wrote this, I did not consider what's happening with the Silicon Valley Bank. But this question takes on new meaning with what's happened in the past couple of weeks. You might want to consider that. What are the keys to future success for credit unions? Do you want to talk about that? As I said, it's taken on new meaning in the last 7 days.
Well, I would love to talk about that. And I get a fair number of opportunities to visit with our Ohio credit unions and talk about it out loud in a kind of a strategy setting. So I think about this quite often. And with some credit unions, the way I have distilled this question down, keys to success for the future, is stay different, get strong, and get loud. And what I mean by that, when I talk about stay different, is to never forget the cooperative roots and cooperative distinctions that make credit unions weird and wonderful and different from everything else in the marketplace. And it's not enough for us all just to be aware of the cooperative model and distinctions and underpinnings of credit unions, but we have to feed it. We have to feed it. We have to press forward and find the modern edition of what a financial cooperative is in Ohio or across the U.S. And so the word different, the word distinction means a lot to me. And in light of the bank crisis that we're experiencing right now. I think that is one of the great advantages that credit unions have as we sit here today, is that their cooperative roots, their credit union philosophy, their people-first orientation, their community focus is among the reasons why, as we sit here today, everything is calm and peaceful in credit union land, because credit union members trust their credit unions, credit union members believe in their credit unions, and credit union members understand the credit unions are focused on them, the communities, and the local orientation. When I said strong, what I meant there is get strong, and that's certainly the business success. And so every credit union organization has a great challenge in being a successful business and finding their version of growth, their version of business success, essentially as a small business. And on that front, especially when I talk to credit unions, I talk about four areas. And the first one is talent and people. And any credit union organization will get only as far and as high as the talent and the people can take it. So investing with great intention in the quality of talent today and the talent you need for the future is an absolutely imperative priority for every credit union organization. We mentioned technology earlier, Ron, and as we are all living through the digitization of consumer finance, of course it is important for credit unions and credit union organizations to deploy technology as aggressively as they can and to focus on powerful consumer or member experience through technology. I would say that organizations like Amazon and organizations like Netflix have taught the entire world to get things and have things easy, conveniently. And so I think the word easy is a very powerful word. And when you think about consumer experience of credit union members today and in the future, we, the leaders of credit unions, have got to do a good job of making their access of credit union amazingness easy for them to reach and to take advantage of. The last thing I'd mention on the business side, Ron, is that, of course, the nature of how credit unions work economically and financially is constantly under pressure and constantly changing. And it's very important for our credit union organizations to innovate and discover new business models and new income sources and new ways to generate fuel and fire to drive the credit union for the future so it can be strong economically for its members, so it has the wherewithal to invest in the needs that it has for the future. I mentioned loud, Ron, and what I mean there is that we all need to commit all the way to government and public advocacy for credit unions. In my mind, that's incredibly simple and powerful. We have to take responsibility for setting our own future agenda, and we have to be great and loud and continuous at telling this amazing credit union story we have.
Now to my conversation with Lauren Whaley. Receiving the Farley Award is a tremendous honor. I have to ask, what was your initial reaction in learning you had received the award?
Oh, well, Ron, I was extremely humbled and honestly a little bit emotional receiving such a prestigious award. You know, when I came on board at the foundation, we had a lot of growth opportunities ahead of us. And it took a lot of time and energy and sweat and tears over the last 7 years to really elevate the foundation to where we are. So I was really just humbled to be recognized for the hard work it took to get to the foundation where it is today.
Let's start at the beginning of your career. How did you get involved in credit unions?
Well, honestly, Ron, it was by happenstance. About 18 years ago, I started my credit union career post-college at Treliant Federal Credit Union in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Wonderful organization. And again, it quickly learned that the moral compass of the credit union industry really aligned with my own and my own values. So when I first started my career at Treliant in their marketing and public relations department, I really learned firsthand how credit unions are improving the financial lives of their members. And from there, I started at the Carolinas Credit Union League, so the Trade Association for Credit Unions in the Carolinas, over regulatory and legislative affairs. Started in the regulatory field right after Dodd-Frank. So you can imagine the workload associated with my job there, and really found a passion for credit unions serving as a lobbyist, not only at the state level in the North Carolina General Assembly, but at the federal level in Congress. And there I was really able to kind of sharpen my ability to persuade credit unions to make bold asks, to really again, work passionately to shape a political climate that preserved, protected, and enhanced the credit union charter.
So you worked as a lobbyist. You really had to learn the ins and outs of, as you said, to make bold asks on behalf of the system.
Yeah, absolutely. I loved working in the legislative arena. The staff at CUNA is outstanding when it comes to really assisting the trade associations in helping bring legislative change that benefits our system.
And even in your current job, I mean, I guess when you work in advocacy, because it's at the heart of what associations do, whether it's the leagues or the associations, you really kind of learn, I guess one way to put it is how the sausage is made, so to speak.
Yeah.
So you can, there's almost not anything you can't jump in and do in our organizations. And
yeah,
that said, that kind of leads me to my next question. When you came onto the foundation, obviously you were a woman on a mission, let's say, and you've really made great strides with the foundation. Do you want to talk about some of the things you did there?
Sure.
I guess one of the things that jumped out at me is the grant programs you developed for small credit unions. Do you want to speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, Ron, I feel very fortunate just through my career to have met credit union leaders and found mentors that really instilled in me the values of hard work and maintaining a compassion for others and kind of being responsible for my own path and my own successes. So, you know, when the opportunity to take over the foundation was presented to me, I jumped on that opportunity because I feel very passionately about the work that credit unions do and knew that there was so much more that our foundation could do to really help elevate the credit union system and to elevate the communities in which credit unions operate in. So our foundation's been around for 30 years and, you know, had kind of taken on a different approach prior to my leadership. And honestly, you know, we were very much operating in the red. And I knew that I could bring about some new programs and some new changes that really could, again, help elevate our foundation. And one of those was our work with small credit unions, specifically in the Carolinas. You know, we have a large, I guess, disparity when it comes to credit union asset sizes from, you know, the second largest credit union in the world, state employees, to some of the smallest credit unions in the country with, you know, a couple staff members and a couple million in assets. So I knew that I wanted to help these smaller credit unions grow and thrive. Hearing from our credit unions, we knew that some of their biggest challenges was just keeping up with technology upgrades, keeping up with, you know, enhancements to their mobile banking that would allow their members to have ready access to their financial information, you know, helping them update some of their branches, you know, paving their parking lots, getting new signs, stuff that budgetary reasons wouldn't allow them to do. So I was very passionate about getting help to our small credit unions where they need it most. The State Credit Union Foundation Network, Ron, let me quickly pivot to talk about them because they're a wonderful organization that helps the State Credit Union Foundations. So just as The leagues that exist across the credit union space, they have resources and educational opportunities to allow them to better serve the needs of credit unions. State credit union foundations have that same structure as well. And that's with the State Credit Union Foundation. It's comprised of 23 state credit union foundations. And I actually serve as the chair of that organization this year and for the next 2 years is my term. And we provide each other with a support system. And we share innovative programs and ideas that we have implemented that are, again, successful to ensure that credit unions and communities are able to grow and thrive. And my counterpart in Wisconsin, Josh Roberts, had a small credit union grant program that was very successful. And I took pieces of his program and pieces from other programs across the country to get our technology and capital improvement grant program up and running. And this year we're going to be awarding $100,000 in grants to small credit unions to help with technology and capital improvements.
What a wonderful story. What is the reaction from small credit unions?
Oh, well, of course, they are incredibly appreciative to have that level of support. And, you know, we're actively fundraising to get that program additional funding. We're thinking about pulling revenue sources from other places because the need is very much apparent, Ron. Our first year, we awarded $80,000 to small credit unions, but had almost $300,000 that was requested of us. So the need is certainly there, and I hope to be able to grow and expand on that program even more as the foundation continues to grow.
Yeah, because as you know, these CEOs of these credit unions, of small credit unions, they work so hard. I mean, they work themselves to the bone, but they love doing it. You know,
yeah.
they have a passion for it, literally, virtually every one of them. So they're really deserving of these grants and they will make the most of them. So it's just,
absolutely,
there's just
Ron.
A synergy. There's just a synergy there that, yeah, you should, my point is that you really should be commended as well as all the other state leagues. So it's just wonderful to talk about it with you.
Yeah. Thank you, Ron. And of course, I can certainly empathize with those small credit unions. You know, for the longest time, I was a staff of one, helping lead our foundation. So I know what it's like to work hard and put in the hours to ensure that, you know, that you're doing all that you can to ensure your organization is thriving.
How did COVID affect the foundation? I know we're a little bit kind of in the post-COVID world, but COVID presented a lot of challenges, but it also introduced a lot of best practices, and I'm sure that happened to you. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So yes, COVID was quite the shock to the system and quite the shock to credit union professionals that were helping credit union members, you know, navigate the new world that COVID provided us. Many of our credit union professionals that work in the credit union system in the Carolinas were also adversely affected. Many of which, you know, had spouses that were laid off or could not find work during COVID for whatever reason. And we all know that, you know, financial stress is one of the biggest stressors for individuals, and having that financial stress as a credit union employee could potentially distract you from serving the needs of credit union members. So we actually launched a program in April of 2020, so very shortly after the pandemic started, that were providing financial hardship grants to credit union professionals. So employees of credit unions in the Carolinas that were struggling financially, meaning that they did not have enough to help meet their monthly obligations. And to help them get back on track financially, we partnered with GreenPath Financial Wellness to get counseling to our credit union employees across the Carolinas that needed that level of assistance to ensure that they were equipped and ready to be able to serve the needs of credit union members.
What are your plans for the future of the foundation?
Oh, we have a lot of big things planned, Ron.
I'm not surprised.
Well, you know, continuing to do what we do best. We have a really outstanding team that provides fund management services to our credit unions across the Carolinas. We provide assistance with managing the philanthropic giving of credit unions through what are called donor advised funds that allow credit unions to have their own foundation without having to go through the headaches that the IRS can bring with having your own 501c3. We manage scholarship programs on behalf of credit unions, dispersing more than $500,000 in scholarship funds for academic and need-based scholarships to credit union members across the Carolinas. We also help with fundraising events. We work with many of our business partners across the Carolinas to do some really fun and exciting fundraising events to support wonderful nonprofits. We also do that with our chapter system. And then most recently after COVID, as kind of a result of our employee hardship program, we are working with credit unions to manage employee relief funds. So credit union employees and credit unions are able to kind of help support their own staff in times of hardship through our employee relief funds that we are managing. So that's really what has allowed the Credit Union Foundation to grow and thrive so significantly, is because of our fund management services that we are now able to provide to credit unions.
Well, Lauren, it's been a pleasure to get to know you a little bit, and I wanted to extend it. Congratulations again. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely, Ron. I appreciate you having me. I'll quickly plug, too, just one other resource from the State Credit Union Foundation Network. And our folks at the National Credit Union Foundation, we have just yesterday launched a philanthropy toolkit that credit union can use to really solidify what they are doing in their communities, and really look to that toolkit as a resource to help guide their philanthropic giving in the communities that they serve.
Thanks for listening to the CUNA News Podcast. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher Radio.